Do any of you have an iPhone? Do any of you ever say, "Hey Siri," and use the voice activated thing on that? It can be very, very handy sometimes. I use it all the time. I say, "Hey Siri, set my alarm for such and such," or "set my timer for such and such." It's very convenient. It's helpful. There are other voice-activated helps that we have in this world today. I haven't gotten into Alexa. Some people have them in their homes, and they can talk to it, and they can say, you know, how's the weather going to be today, or turn on my music, or something like that. And I have voice activation in my car. By the way, I got a new car. I got an Audi. Jim, I understand that you are a fan of Audis. This is my first Audi. I'm impressed. And the seats. And the what?
The seats.
Yes, they are. It's a great little car. Yeah. I have a voice activation thing in my Audi. And I can say, "Hey, Audi. Hey, Audi, take me home." And a map comes up on the screen and it tells me how to get home. I can say, "Hey, Audi, get me to Turth Valley," and a map comes up and a voice talks to her. I can say, "Play my music," and whatever I have recorded on my iPhone plays, you know, through the speakers. It's pretty cool. In many ways, those gadgets are convenient, but then sometimes something unexpected happens. I can be going about my business, driving the car perhaps, and suddenly I'm surprised by this computerized female voice that comes onto my phone or my watch or my car, and it says, "I didn't get that. Could you please repeat it?" And I'm startled because I wasn't talking to her. But she was listening to me. In fact, she never stops listening to me. Now, in some ways, that can be reassuring. But in other ways, that can be rather scary, too. I wasn't aware that she was listening to me. And maybe I did not want her to hear what I was saying. I shared all this to make a point. God is listening to you all the time. When I want him to listen to me, I'm so grateful that he does. But there are some times that I forget that he's listening to me. And there are some times that I would prefer that he not hear what I might be saying. I suspect you can identify with that. I want to talk about all that, but first I'm going to do something that's probably going to sound like a big shift. It's not really, but you'll understand. There is a big difference between religion and Christianity. There's a big difference. Religion is about believing in something and following the rules. Christianity is about that too, but much more. Christianity is about building a relationship with God. Very different from religion. God wants to have a relationship with you, doesn't he? God wants to have a relationship with you. It's part of his plan. And part of that is that he wants you to have conversations with him. He wants you to speak to him, and he listens. And he wants to speak to you too. And he wants you to listen, for his voice comes in all kinds of ways. It's a reciprocal relationship between you and God. I hope you have more than religion in your life. I hope you have Christianity, faith in God, his presence in your life. And I hope you know that you have a friend who is closer to you than a brother who listens to you. Now, let's get back to that subject of when God is listening. We really don't have to have Bible verse after Bible verse to illustrate and underscore all that, because it's throughout the Bible. It says God listens to us, but it's especially true when we pray to him. In a way, that's kind of like saying, "Hey, Siri." When we say, "Hey, Siri," it opens a channel. When we say, "Heavenly Father," it opens a channel. And he listens in a very different way to our conversations. I don't want to make light of that in comparing it to Siri, but it's important to make that point. God is listening to you even if you are not trying to talk to him directly. But when you pray to him, it gets far more serious. It takes a real action on your part. It takes proactive behavior on your part to start a conversation with him, Heavenly Father, and talk to him. It also takes a real step of faith that he's there, that he's hearing you, that he's listening to you. He wants to hear from you. Praise God that prayer is not just a feeling. Praise God that prayer is not just a concept or something that you listen to while somebody else is doing it. It is a conversation that you originate, that you execute. Now, don't fall into the theological trap that says, "I know God's listening to me because he answered my prayer." The flip side of that is, he did not do what you wanted him to do, so you think he's not listening to you. He really is. We've talked about this before. God always hears, and he always answers your prayers. He sometimes says yes. He sometimes says no. And then he sometimes says, "Not now. Wait a while. There's a better time." And then sometimes he said, "You don't know what you need. You think you know what you want, but you don't know what you need. So I'm going to give you something better than what you asked for." He answers prayers in all kinds of different ways. But my focus right now is the fact that he listens to you. But let's not move on before we recognize this. There are numerous times in the Bible that reveal to us that God sometimes refuses to listen to our prayers. One of the extended passages about this is in the first chapter of Isaiah, which describes a people who had rebelled against God. They had done evil things, and their lives were being lived far away from God. And even though they went through the motions, listen to this, even though they went through the motions and they were religious, observing holy days and making sacrifices, God said this in the 15th verse of the first chapter of Isaiah, "When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will not see them. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood," he said. And in exactly the same way, God said this in Zechariah chapter 7, 13. He said, "When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty." I hope he's not referring to me or you. If you are here under false pretenses, then God does not listen to you. If you ignore God and continue to ignore God, then he will not listen to you. If you persist in committing acts of evil, he will not listen to you. And none of that is his fault. It's your fault. You own it. Now, to all those sinners sitting in this room right now who sincerely know God and love God and want to please God and follow God, even though you are still a sinner, He listens to you. Do you hear the difference in those things? If you are fake, He will not listen. We've had people come into this very room to, quote, worship with us who didn't even believe in Jesus. He doesn't listen to their prayers. Oh, He would, if they would repent. So if your life is real in Christ, and if you seek to walk in His ways, He hears you, He loves you, He listens, He opens the portals of heaven, even when you disappoint Him and let Him down. Isn't that amazing? He hears you. God hears your prayers. He not only hears your prayers, He hears your cries. I love that teaching in the Bible. I'm not talking about weeping. I'm talking about those times when you actually cry out to Him. Have you ever done that? Cried out to Him. Maybe you're in trouble. Help, Lord. Maybe you're overcome by grief. Help me, Lord. Maybe those pains in your body are so bad that you can hardly stand living. Heal me, Lord. Help me. Maybe you're in danger. I don't know. Have you ever cried out to God in desperation? I think all of us have at one time or another. God never promised that we would have life without troubles, right? But He did promise that He hears those prayers too, those outcries. One of the best illustrations of this in the Bible is the story of Jonah. You know, God asked Jonah to do something that Jonah did not want to do. So what was Jonah's response? He tried to hide from God. How stupid is that? Has that ever happened to you? Has God ever asked you to do something that you did not want to do? So you tried to hide from God? How stupid we can be sometimes. You remember the story of Jonah. We won't go into all the stuff. Without reviewing exactly how it happened, he ended up being swallowed by a great big fish, maybe a whale. We don't know what it was. He was having a really, really bad day. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah said, "In my distress, I cried out to you, Lord, and you answered me." Whatever distressful problem you may be having today, I'll bet it's not as bad as being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Jonah said, "From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you saved me. You heard my cry." I love a quote that I'd love to share from Corrie Ten Boom. She said, "There is no problem so great that God is not greater still." Isn't that wonderful? There is no problem so great that God is not greater still. Whatever problem you're facing today, and I know you are, we all are, whatever it is, God's greater still. Okay, the whale vomited, and up came Jonah. That must not have been very pleasant. But thanks to God, it proves that He listens to us no matter how hopeless things may seem. Jonah was not alone. For instance, in 2 Samuel 22:7, David said this. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried out to my God," it says. "He heard my voice." He listens. He hears. And this is Psalm 6, verse 9. "The Lord heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayers." Brothers and sisters, there is hope in the name of the Lord, whatever you face. There is strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So don't lose your faith. Don't lose your hope. You'll drive a wedge into that relationship with God if you do that. Trust him, trust him, trust him. Pray, pray, pray. Here's another thing for us to remember, and this one requires some real caution. And by the way, if you've taken a nap and tuned me out during this sermon, please wake up right now and focus on this point. God also hears our complaints. What did I just say? Tell me. We've been talking about some good news so far. Now let's talk about some bad news. God's always listening. And so he also hears us when we complain. Oh, it's so easy to illustrate that point just with the Hebrews and the wilderness, you know, very familiar illustrations. They didn't have enough food and they prayed for food and God gave them free food and they still complain. And then they complained about a lack of variety of food. And then they complained that their feet hurt, and they complained that they were tired, and they complained that they wanted to go back to Egypt because they loved the leeks and the garlics and the onions. You know how much of that revolves around food? I can understand that. Complain, complain, complain. Of course, thank God we never complain, do we? We're more enlightened than that. But if by some small chance any of us should ever complain about something, let's just remember that God is listening. God is listening all the time. Ask yourself this question: what has God done for me? What has God done for you? Well, for one thing, he gave you life. Hallelujah. Has he put food on your table? Has he given you some decent clothes to wear? Has he given you important, significant people in your life whom you love? Maybe family, maybe friends. Has he given you a church family that cares for one another? Do you have investments to get you through the end of your living here? Do you have a car that runs? Has he given you another day of life? Hello? What has God done for you? Well, have you thanked him for any of that today? Or have you been complaining? He is listening. He is listening. Well, as you know, today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so I want to shift the focus a little bit on Jesus. He made seven statements on the cross, and three of them were prayers. Even in the midst of the most horrible circumstances we can imagine, the first prayer he uttered was, "Father, forgive them." Has anyone ever hurt you? Oh, that we would have the compassion and the Christ-likeness to forgive them. I'm almost tempted to stop right there and just have a time of silent prayer. Let us all deal with that question, but I'll go on. Jesus' second prayer on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, I want to talk about that one in just a minute, but let's go to the third prayer. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Even at the point of death, he not only knew that God was going to take him into heaven, into his presence, but he totally trusted him for the whole process, that the best outcome would be there. Oh, that you and I would have that same kind of faith. When my time comes and I'm facing death, I just pray that I will totally trust God in the process, regardless of whatever challenges may be there. And I pray that for you as well. Now, I said I wanted to come back to the one about, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was not complaining. Jesus was not even questioning God. You know what he was doing? He was quoting Scripture. He was quoting Psalm 22. It's a prophetic psalm, very prophetic psalm, written by David. And here's just a portion of what it says. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not hear. Listen, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. That's the message that Jesus wanted the people at the foot of the cross to remember. They knew this psalm. And Jesus started this passage that culminates in God is enthroned above all. Let's praise his name. That was part of the powerful message of the cross from the dying lips of Jesus. And there's more. Verse 4 of Psalm 22. In you, God, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. There is no one who listens to you the way God listens to you. And only he can deliver you regardless of what you face. And here's some more remarkable prophetic statements from Psalm 22, and as I read these, think of the cross of Jesus Christ. It says, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Now here's another one. I'm poured out like water, and my bones are all out of joint. Can you imagine how painful that would be? And here's still more. My strength is dried up. Oh, listen. I was sick the past 2 weeks, and for part of that time, my strength was dried up. And I felt poor, poor me. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Have you ever been there? When you just didn't have the strength to just walk from the car to the door? Here's another one. A band of evil men has encircled me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. That's Psalm 22. Here's more. I can count all my bones. I've heard that expressed right out there in the foyer every Sunday. And it goes on. It says, people stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Do you see? Do you hear how prophetic Psalm 22 is concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? And here is something absolutely remarkable. Listen to this. When David wrote those words of Psalm 22 that clearly talks about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, death by crucifixion had not yet been conceived. The first crucifixions in history took place in Persia about 600 years before Jesus Christ was even born. And David wrote Psalm 22 1,000 years before Jesus Christ was born. That's 400 years before even the first crucifixion took place. If there's any doubt in any person's mind, God is the author of the Bible. Remarkable. Back to Psalm 22. In the midst of all that terror and that pain, that ugliness, David interrupts Psalm 22 with a remarkable testimony of hope and power. This is verse 22 of Psalm 22. Can you remember that? This is verse 22 of Psalm 22. David said, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. In the congregation. Hello, eyes up, eyes up, eyes up. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And there's an exclamation point after that because the translators needed to put an exclamation point there because they knew by the original language that David literally shouted those words. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. I'm preaching now. For he has not despised nor disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has, here it comes, but he has listened to his cry for help. God listens. God hears you. He loves you. He listens to you when you maintain a right relationship with him. God wants you to know that there is hope, no matter what you face. That's the God we worship. That's the God we serve. That's the God who loves you so much that he died for you. And that's the God who hears your prayers. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful, wonderful reminder of encouragement this is. And I pray that we will be people of prayer. Hey God, it's Harry. I need you. I love you. I praise you. Let us, Lord, walk in such a way with you that we know you're always listening. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.